Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker was kind of really a star on the stage for the Republican Party nationally when he was governor of Wisconsin. And he heads up the Young Americans Foundation. But get his thoughts on what's going on. He joins us live, GMI Studios this morning. Governor Walker, thanks for being with us. Good morning, New Hampshire. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. And you're right. It's 2 p.m. Eastern on Fox, so I'm paying attention to that as well. So tune in to Cheer on the USA.
What do you think? Good chances here today?
I hope so. It's interesting. Did you see that press conference? Wow. I mean, it's just a good reminder that no matter how woke people on the left think they can go, there's always going to be people calling us on things. So we should stand up and make the case that, hey, America, despite our challenges, is the greatest country in the history of the world, and we're proud to be there, not just when it comes to soccer, but for anything.
Well, I'm with you on that, and I said that before Thanksgiving when I was reading President Lincoln's remarks on the Thanksgiving Proclamation after the Civil War, or coming out of the Civil War back in 1863, and I'm tired of this negativity. We're a pretty darn good place. Well, let's get back to going forward. Republicans seem to have a challenge now, and I'm not sure how it's going to go over into 2024, but Governor Walker, I haven't had a chance to speak with you. I mean, clearly, if there was ever going to be a red wave in this last midterm election, the stage was set. Unpopular President Joe Biden, even among the Democrats, the worst inflation in more than 40 years. Here in New England, we're battling record high energy, electricity costs, the cost of oil to put in your home, to heat your home, groceries. If there was ever a time when one party controlled the White House and Congress to flip more seats, it would have been this one. What happened? Why wasn't there more of a red wave in states like New Hampshire and in the U.S. Senate nationally, as well as more seats in the House?
Yeah, two things. One, a contrast between problem solvers and people identified as not necessarily problem solvers, and secondly, the youth vote. On the first part, I think you did see a solid wave. You saw it in New Hampshire. You saw it elsewhere across the country, and that is with incumbent Republican governors. Mm-hmm. So Governor Sununu, but elsewhere. You look at Governor Kemp in Georgia, Governor DeWine in Ohio, Governor Reynolds in Iowa, obviously Ron DeSantis in Florida, mm-hmm. Greg Abbott in Texas. All those governors didn't just win. They won big. They won by significant margins. And obviously, as a former governor, I'm biased, but I think part of that reasoning was because they were proven problem solvers. They were people who got things done. Unfortunately, right or wrong, some of the challengers, whether it was in your state, in the Senate race, or elsewhere across the country, many of the challengers, Republican challengers for governor, House, Senate, were viewed after coming out of a primary as candidates who were almost solely focused on the 2020 election. Now, I'm not disputing, I'm not going to go back and relitigate that other than just an observation. For swing voters, the kind of voters that got me elected, even though I'm a rock-solid conservative across the board, got me elected three times in a blue state, they want people who can get things done. And governors who did that got reelected by big margins. Candidates who were perceived, right or wrong, but were perceived as not being problem solvers but focused on just one issue, I think we're not rewarded.
Well, I think that's part of what Neil Levesque, Institute of Politics, San Anselm College, said yesterday, looking back on the Republican challengers to the congressional Democrats here. We have kind of Governor Walker here, and I don't know about other states, it's kind of a split voter personality. The independents did not break right. A lot of them voted for Governor Sununu because they liked him, but the coattails weren't there. They voted for the Democrat incumbents in Congress, and yet the state house is governed by Republicans. So the federal seats here are Democrats. The incumbents got reelected, but the voters wanted Republicans governing the state. If 74% of the people going into that election wanted change nationally, why didn't more seats flip nationally in the House and the Senate?
Right. Here's the key. The other point I was raising, and obviously ties into the work I'm doing at Young Americans Foundation, young people, 18 to 29-year-old voters nationwide did about a 65-35 split. But in targeted states like yours and mine, my governor's race, it was 70-30 Democrat over Republican. In New Hampshire, in that Senate race, it was over 70% went for Maggie Hassan. That's where you get, not just in a given election, where you're right, inflation, energy costs, all these other things normally would make you think, okay, the incumbent who's tied to these all bad policies to get thrown out. But with 18 to 29-year-old, obviously other voters too, but those, you know, 3-to-1 margins are driven by years of indoctrination. They're bought into this radical view of abortion. They're bought into radical views on climate change, on gun control, on democracy, all those sorts of things that you hear the left pounding over and over again. And my point, why I'm working, for example, Young America's Foundation, is that's not going to change with a couple of cool ads. That's not going to change with a Youth for Whatever coalition. That's something we need to all wake up and realize, if we don't do something, not just in college, but if we don't do something with high school and even middle school and younger students, we're going to be faced with more and more of this in the future. Now, I'm optimistic enough. I believe we can turn that around.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, these kids just aren't getting the facts. And when they do, they come our way.
Governor Scott Walker, former governor of Wisconsin, also head of the Young Americans Foundation. He can tell us about that. But, Governor, I want to come back to something you alluded to when you mentioned 2020, and that is Donald Trump. Obviously, after the midterms, he announced he's running again. Now, Governor Sununu wasn't really blown away by his announcement. There is no love lost between the Sununu and Trump camps, as people may know here. But Governor DeSantis is certainly a national. The only red wave I saw big time was in Florida. So is Donald Trump the one that should be the standard bearer going into 2024? Is that a liability if you want to win a general election with more of these younger voters?
Well, I think two things. One, Donald Trump, President Trump, based upon what he accomplished, not what he said recently or tweeted or done this or that, but based upon what he actually accomplished, deserves the right to be in the mix. He deserves the right to be considered. I think voters have to realize or think about, and it's not going to be you or me, it's not going to be, certainly not going to be the D.C. pundits, it's going to be the voters in New Hampshire and Wisconsin and all across America that are going to make the decision. What voters got to decide is, what do they want for the future? Not what do they want to have done in the past, but for the future. I think President Trump runs into problems if his campaign is perceived as being rehashing what happened in the past, particularly in the 2020 election. He has a shot, I believe, if he, as he did in 2016, has a game plan for how, as he would say, how to make America great again in 2024 and beyond. But if it's just going back to where we were before, I think elections always are about the future, not about the past.
Right.
Any candidate who's caught in the past is going to get run over. And so it remains to be seen. I heard a few good lines in that announcement, but I didn't hear a clear plan like we saw in 2016. If he's going to be viable, he's going to have to do that. And DeSantis, you're right. DeSantis right now is the hottest ticket in America, not just because he won big in a state that 4 years ago he barely won,
right,
but because everyone in that state that followed his lead won and really did have that red wave there. And I'd say similarly, you had a somewhat of a red wave in Texas. Both prime examples, if you're a proven common-sense conservative problem solver,
right,
you and the people that associate with you are going to win.
Governor Walker, thanks for the time. What are you doing these days other than things like this and Young Americans Foundation, you look to the future? What are you up to these days?
Well, the nice thing is I'm a quarter century younger than Joe Biden, so I got plenty of time if I ever choose to run again. But the work I'm doing at YF.org is really about getting into the classroom, in with young people sooner, because if we don't do that, as I mentioned, those poll numbers, those exit poll numbers show we're going to lose states like New Hampshire and Wisconsin. I'm committed to not letting that happen. And one piece of good news, one of the young people I met when I first started this program, working with Young America's Foundation, just happens to be Susan Rice's son, John. He is a full-blooded conservative because he heard talk radio years ago when he was in the car without his parents. That, to me, is a prime example. If Susan Rice's son can be a conservative by hearing the truth, we can get the truth to anyone and prevail.
That's a great anecdote. Governor Walker, love to get you back again soon on my show here in our network of News Talk stations. Governor Scott Walker, thank you.
God bless.